group as you see there is no longer the Bill Gaither group, but they were by far, in my opinion, the best. But these people are real people. And when I say that, anytime you see people on TV and you see them perform and do all that, you sort of really wonder, do they really believe what they sing, or is it just a way to make a lot of money? And believe me, these people are not poor, so I'm not saying anything about that. Everybody has the right to make money. But three of those four people, Monica and I have met in person and have spent some time with. And one of them in particular that might really surprise you is Mark. Now, Mark is one big cut. I mean, on stage with Bill Gaither, all that, he is, how come I don't have no lights over here?
I have no idea. Switch is off, I'd say.
Oh, wait a minute, now that I see him, turn it back on. I didn't mean it.
Let there be light, and there was
light. We all know that Mark is a nut. I mean, that's what we love about him. I mean, he is just, and he loves to activate Bill Gaither. I ain't talking about this Mark. I'm talking about that Mark up here. That Mark's a nut, too, but I'm talking about the Mark that's up here. And we went to see them in concert, and I don't know exactly how Monica worked this out. Somehow or another, she had it plan that we could go back and spend some time after the concert with Mark. And we went back there and spent probably about 15, 20 minutes with this young man. Now, when you get him alone, he's totally different. One of the most spiritual, serious young men you'll find anywhere on the planet in this right mind. I mean, he looked at my foot, wanted to know all the history about my foot and all of this, and had special prayer for me over my foot. And to be honest with you, since then, my foot has come a long, long way. And I tell you, that 20 minutes with Mark Lowry, I wouldn't take anything for, because you saw the real side of Mark Lowry. He loves his Lord and loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and he believes what he's seen. Give Mark a round of applause for that. Bill Gaither, Monica and I got to meet him back, probably in the late 90s. One of the first times they came here to Lowell after they made the videos and all of that. And at that time, Rebecca Jackson was county judge, and she was supposed to welcome me onto Lowell. The mayor couldn't for whatever. And Rebecca, for whatever reason, couldn't go that night. And so she left that up to Monica and I to go backstage and welcome Bill Gaither to the city of Lowell. And that was a real neat experience. Now, he was young back then. He's just an old man now. But he was younger back then. And again, we got to see the spiritual, the very nice man, Bill Gaither. It was a great experience for us, wasn't it, Monica? He spent, again, about 10, 15 minutes with us. Didn't rush us in and out and all that type of stuff. And just had a great time walking with him to Lowell. And then the last guy, Guy Pinrod. And this man's 6'6". You can tell by looking at the videos, he's pretty tall. And I love Guy Pinrod and his voice. This man has 8 kids, raises them on a farm, I think, and I want to say Tennessee, but I'm not 100% sure of that. But we had an opportunity when he came to Lowell to go out, and we had bought a couple of his CDs. We heard he was in town, and again, Monica was able to pull this off so that when we got there, we got some private time with him. He signed our CDs for us or whatever, and spent a lot of time, and he's a family man. That was the reason he ended up retiring from Bill Gaither, because those kids were getting on up in age, and his wife said, hey, I need some help. And usually when the wife says, I need some help, you give some help, or you out on the farm sleeping by yourself. And so he retired from Bill Gaither and went and helped his wife and continued to finish raising those kids. But he is a family man and loves the Lord. I tell you that quick story to let you know, these are real people who love the Lord. Give them another hand of applause. All right, for those of you pretty small crowd last week due to the weather, but being glad to have a lot of you back today. We had four people that was visiting with us last Sunday. Two of them were back. I understand the other two are going to come back, but some of you have not met Charlie and Rose here. This is Charles and Rose, and good people that live here. I married them 20 years ago. Charles never had a kid. Yeah, they came in last Sunday and said, "You married us 20 years ago." I said, "Well, did I do a good job?" You know, I get that all the time where people come up to me and say, "You know, you married me 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever the case may be." But anyway, so glad to have you back, guys. Thank you for being here. All right, we're going to deal with a subject today, still under this heading of why is it important to be in church? Why? Why is it important? And some of these subjects we're dealing with will help you tremendously by being in God's house among God's people. Now, 2 weeks ago, I asked a pop quiz question, and everybody here failed. I said, "What is the one thing that everybody has in common?" And you threw out everything to me except what I was looking for. You remember what I was looking for? Past. Everybody here has a past. You remember that? No, you don't remember it because you got it all wrong. Now, ask the question again. Same question. This is something that everybody here, I don't care who you are, you deal with this. Close. It comes from you, Marcia. I understand why you use that word. Yeah. Well, we've already talked about that. But anger. What else? Everybody here, I don't care. There ain't a person in there. And I don't care if they're 2 years old or 102.
Holly said stress.
Close. Close. Very close. Very close.
Problems.
What?
Problems.
Problems. Yes. Yeah. I'm proud of you, Ron. That's the wrong answer, but I'm still proud of you.
Husband.
Oh, well, hey. He may be getting closer to what you think. Well, that's right, but I'm looking for a particular word. And the family, all that's part of it. The little one here comes real close. What's another word for stress?
Anxiety.
Anxiety. All right. Give Sandy a hand of applause. Now, Sandy don't know what anxiety is. She's married to Kevin. I mean, how does she know what anxiety is? Anxiety. Stress? Yes. Everybody here's got it. Understand that? And in the world that we live in today, you turn the TV on. Everything going on in Washington, D.C. Everything going on in the state of Kentucky. Everything going on in Shepherdsville, in the city of Louisville, in your family, in churches, on jobs. The way people are killing people. There is no more good news per se. I don't even like the news. And I used to watch it all the time. I don't even care no more. Because of the fact is that if you dwell on it, no wonder we got people that are stressed, depressed, and anxious. You don't even know if you can go to work if you're going to come back alive. If you get in that car, you don't know if you're coming back alive. We just spent the weekend with an 8-year-old. Look at me, I'm all right. Lord, help me. Anxiety, stress, everybody here's got it. But let me tell you something. God has an answer for anxiety because the number one problem and reason that you need to get rid of it is because it will affect your what?
Health.
I guarantee you. How many of you here have high blood pressure? There you go. How many of you here knows what it is to have like a little touch of sugar problems or diabetes? How many of you here have husband problems. No, don't raise your hand. Rose, get your hand down. Get your hand down. You gotta understand, everything in life brings anxiety. Just life itself. Illness. Whether you're sick or someone in your family's sick. When someone passes away, what all you've got to deal with? Just life. Understand. Now, I'm just full of good news today, aren't I? So far, I've just really thrown it out there, haven't I? Man, some of y'all are getting ready to start crying here in a minute. And I'm supposed to be the one with the good news. Well, we do have good news. Good news is that the more anxiety and stress that you have, it's time to get Jesus in your life more. And that's where church comes in. Now, believe it or not, they tell me I don't get around to other churches. I mean, I've been to this church for 32 years, the other church I was there for 7. I mean, I've only been in 2 churches in 40 years of ministry. But I hear through the grapevine of some pastor friends of mine, some people who attend other churches, that one of the greatest things that brings stress in people's life is church. Wow. You know, they say 20% of the people do 100% of the work in church. Churches are declining as we speak in groves of numbers. It takes money to operate this place. When people go, so goes the money. And where the money goes, do you know in this country right now, believe this or not, in this country right now, we've got more church properties up for sale than we've ever had in history because there's nobody in the doors no more. Up for sale. That ought to be absolutely asinine in this country alone. A Christian nation, and we've got churches that can't even get enough people in them to have any type of service, and they got them up for sale. Don't tell me God's not getting ready to come. I think the trumpet's in his hands because he said, as we get toward the end of the church age, the church will fall apart. And it has. I am so thankful that you're here. We're a small church, but we still keep maintaining. We still keep the camera rolling. We still are got the doors open. We still got the money to pay the heat. We still got the money to pay the air conditioning. We got the money to keep going. How long? I don't know. People ask me all the time, you know, you're not going to retire, are you? As long as I preach with some sense, I won't retire.
Which passes all understanding, the world don't understand.
understand it when we have peace, because the world's crazy. But when we can have peace, they don't understand that. How do you have that? How do you get that? So guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Folks, understand something. One of the reasons to come to church is to help you with your anxiety. And the reason we're going to do that is that we're going to love you. Now, I said earlier, I hear all the time that churches are one of the leading causes of stress, because some people are with each other. One side sits on this side, one side sits on that side. You know, they don't say anything to each other, don't speak to each other. Business meetings in churches today are wild. I don't know what's wrong with people. I understand something. You know, this is where, if there's any place that I should feel accepted and loved, it's in a church. Because that's what Jesus expects. I think Jesus knocks on the doors every Sunday in a lot of churches and is not allowed to come in. Because if Jesus comes to church, it's going to be a different congregation. Now, yeah, everybody sits where they're supposed to sit. I can tell who's missing, because I can tell where you sit. But it's not because we're split or anything like that. Oh, well, I mean, we got the U of L and the U of K. Oh, did I bring that up? But, you know, we understand that we're all here for the same cause. We're all here because we believe in Jesus Christ. Now, we don't get on the phone sometimes and call each other 4 or 5 times a day. I don't even know where some of you people are at on Monday through Saturday. And I don't want to know unless you call me. Okay? If you call me, I'm going to be there if I can. But all of you got your own lives, but we come together on Sunday morning. We come in from a hard week, from wherever job, whatever you do, to come in here for one reason. To feel love, to get love, to hear God's word, be inspired, and to leave this door feeling better than when I walked into it. That's what church is all about. In nothing, be anxious. Now that's a very hard statement. Because Lord knows, in the world we live in today, I mean, just to get here today was stressful. You got to get up, and you got to get dressed, and if you got children, you have to get them dressed. And why is it that on Sunday morning, children are the meanest that they are any other time? Because they want to sleep in, they want to rest, and all of that, and you got to get them up, and you got to get them here, and all of that, and then you got to deal with traffic, and everything that there is to get to here. But once you get here, you should know that when you walk in this place, you're respected and you're loved. And that's what we're going to make sure every time you walk in. That's the way it's been for 30-something years since I've been here. That's the way it's always going to be. In nothing, be anxious. But nothing and everything mean the same thing. But in everything, by prayer. When I feel anxious, and I feel stressed, and I feel like the world around me is crumbling or falling down, I have to stop what I'm doing and just say, Lord, give me grace, and I need it now. Because if I don't, I'm going to be right in there. I'm going to be anxious up to here, stressed up to here. And when I get stressed up to here, my mouth goes, my actions go. Everything about me, and I become not a servant for Jesus, but I become a mouth for Satan. Everybody here can do that. Because I've seen everybody here do it, including me. Okay? I've seen people under stress. It's tough. It's tough. Prayer. Supplication. Supplication means when I pray to God, I need to listen to God. Prayer, I've said this 10,000 times, especially in this church, prayer is not a one-way conversation. We think that we speak out the words and we have prayer and we say amen and we get up off our knees or we begin to eat or we begin to go do about it, and God has not had a chance to talk to us. Give God a chance because he's got something to say to you. Listen through your heart, listen through your mind, and listen what he will tell you. Because he's going to tell you how to get through it, get around it, get above it, do whatever it needs. And he can calm your soul in the midst of whatever hell you think you're going through at the moment. He can do that. And he will do that if you listen. With thanksgiving, don't approach God with the fact that I need it and I need it now. And if you don't help me, I'm going to be mad. You'd be surprised sometimes how some people just actually have that kind of attitude when they pray. I need the money and I need it now. If I don't have it in my bank by tomorrow, God, I'm going to blame you for it. If my bills are not paid tomorrow, I'm going to blame you for it. Now here's what you got to understand, folks. Not everything on this planet is God's fault. You better take responsibility for some things. Now God's going to help you deal with it and help you get through it. But if you think all of a sudden he's just going to make it go away, never has in my life. That doesn't mean he doesn't love me. Doesn't mean he doesn't care about me. He gets me through it. But sometimes it just doesn't disappear. It just means now I've put it in God's hands, and God's hands is going to help me through it. Doesn't mean he's going to solve it. Doesn't mean he's going to give me $1 million. Doesn't mean it's all going to go away. It just means he's going to give me the strength to deal with it day by day by day by day.
Amen.
That's what I need. With all the physical stuff wrong with me, from heart to sugar to weight to foot to kidneys, you name it, I've had to deal with it. I should have been dead a long time ago. God says, no, you'll die when I tell you to come home. Until then, we're going to get you through it. We're going to go around it. We're going to go every way we can be. Gave me a good heart surgeon about 13 years ago. Gave me a new heart. I don't have any kidneys, but I've been around some of the best people that you've ever seen to take care of me. Most people don't even know I'm on dialysis, and I even do hemodialysis today. I mean, you know, there are people, since I've been back to this clinic, there's been three of them to die in the clinic. Right there with them. 15, 20 feet of me. And that bothers me. It worries me. But I leave there standing. I'm the only one that drives. The rest of them have to take a few transportation there. And I look around sometime and I said, when's my time coming? God said, you just keep doing my work and mind your own business. I'll take care of you.
Amen.
And Lord knows this foot of mine. What a history that has been. I've had more problems with my foot than some of you, how old you are. 16, 17 years I've had this foot in my mouth. The Lord knows I've got to get it out one of these days. But I'll work on it. Still working on it. But compared again, I could never complain all day long. I remember when it was this big, that deep. Now it's that big and that deep.
Amen.
Oh, they still the kidney transplant people still won't touch me. I said, well, don't touch me. It don't make no difference to me. Either give me one or don't give me one. I ain't going home if God calls me home anyway.
Right.
I mean, really, I just have to get, because I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to quit. I just don't believe in that. I do believe that you ought to be thankful for what you got, no matter what you got. I don't care if you live in a cardboard box or live in a $1 million mansion. Be thankful you got a roof over your head.
Amen.
All right? Because the more thankful you are, you might be surprised what God may do for you. Keep that in mind. And the peace of God, which passes everybody's understanding, the one thing that everybody else, again, wants in this room is peace. Peace. Sometimes we want quiet. Sometimes we want things to go away. Some of us would just give anything to just get a decent night's sleep. Huh? Some of us can't even sleep. We got so much on our minds. Somewhere along the line, folks, you have to come to this conclusion. You can't solve the world's problems, and the world is going to keep turning and keep turning, and there's going to be problems in this country and around this world until Jesus comes back and takes it over. You can't change the world, but what you can do is be a witness of the world you live in. People don't know me around the world, but I have a group of people that know me. I have a group of people that see me, that hear me, and I'm responsible for getting that word of God out. But I'm not responsible for the world. The most I'm responsible for is me. Because I'm not going to answer for the world. I'm not going to answer for you. I'm going to answer for me. And as I say all the time, that's a full-time job. To answer for me. But thank God, no matter what. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard. Key word here. Guard your hearts. And your thoughts. In Christ Jesus. I passed by Fort Knox, I don't know how many times in my lifetime. Anytime Monica and I travel, and people know we're from Kentucky. Two questions, always. What's it like at the Kentucky Derby? And what does Fort Knox look like? Two questions you get if they know you're from the state of Kentucky. All right? I've never been to the Derby, so I don't know how to answer that. I watch it on TV, but I've never been there. And they'll say, is Fort Knox really as guarded as they say it is? I said, well, I don't know. I tried one time to get within 10 feet of the doors and spent 3 years in jail. But I don't know how tight the security is. All I know is, as far as I know, Fort Knox has never been robbed. So there may not be nothing in there. That may be the biggest forest there was, like Area 51. You know, Mom and I went to Area 51. You know what's in Area 51? Coyotes. That's the closest thing that you're going to find to extraterrestrial stuff is a coyote. There ain't nothing in Area 51, people. Give me a break. What about, there may not even be you going to Fort Knox for all I know. It may be scattered all over the place. But they want you to think it's there. I don't know what's there, but you ain't gonna get in there. Well, this thing guard here is neat. Because the only person who truly can guard your heart and your life is Jesus Christ. And believe me, if he's guarding your life and guarding your heart, it's better than Fort Knox. Because Satan would do everything he can to tear you up, tear you apart in every way, shape, or form. Well, he will not be able to do it as long as you keep Jesus in your life and keep him around you. He will guard you and guard your family no matter how emotional you are, no matter what's going on in your life. He loves you, cares for you, and he is the most powerful thing in your life when you truly walk with him every day.
Amen.
Folks, I wish somehow or another you understand how to deal with this. I'm not going to tell you it's going to go away. That'd be silly on my part. Stress, it's not going to go away. Because you still live in a world that's full of sin. But one day, you stay attached to Jesus. You stay in his church. You stay in his Bible. And you stay in communication with Jesus. And one day this world, who's gone to hell in a handbasket, one day he's coming back. And when he does, folks, he's going to change it. And what a day that's going to be. I promise you, hang with Jesus. Hang with Jesus. Hang with Jesus. I don't care how bad it gets, or what you see or what you watch, you keep in mind, you are a child of God if you know Jesus, and he will take care of you. And then when you take that last breath on this world, I promise you, you're going to open up into the arms of Jesus. That is a promise in God's word, and I believe that. Give the Lord one more hand. Every head is bowed, and every eye. Father, what a privilege. Oh, what a privilege to hear your word today. Father, I thank you. We feel your presence in this place. If there be one here today that is lost, either watching me by camera or in this congregation, you are just a prayer away from changing your life for eternity. But you got to do it by faith, and you got to believe. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ and you want to do that today, I urge you to come and take me by the hand. You say, "Brother Roger, I want to be saved." I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, and then I'm going to welcome you to the family of God and to this church. And believe me, your problems are not going to go away, but you'll be able to deal with it better. But you will secure a place in heaven that will give you the greatest peace that this world can give you. If you need a quiet time, just offer it. I'm going to invite you to come. No one's going to bother you. You just spend as much time as you need there. If you're looking for a good church home, we would love to have you just come and say, "Brother Roger, I'm going to church and be a part of the fellowship." And we'll fill out a little card on you and shake your hand and love you the best we know how to do it. But really, most important is I want to make sure everyone within the sound of my voice knows that Jesus is coming soon. It's time. This is the place. Get into God's house. Get into His church. Wrap yourself around His family and get ready for the trumpets getting ready to sound. Thank you for being here today. Father, bless this service. Bless this invitation. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.